This feature of the Science News Radio Network is coming to you from our studios in Dallas, Texas. Science News is on the air right now.
This is the promise of tomorrow, where people and industry keep up with the business of emerging and nanotechnologies. The fields covered in this series of programs will include energy, defense, aerospace, medicine, semiconductors, and more. For the next hour, Colonel Mason will introduce his experts, and you'll be on the cutting edge of the promise of tomorrow.
And once again, it's so good to be with you as we explore the exciting world of the business of emerging science, nanotechnology, open innovation, and the Homeland Security Technology Conference that's going on Tuesday and Wednesday coming up. It's the IEEE 2017 International Conference on Homeland Security Technologies at the Westin Hotel in Waltham, Massachusetts. That's Boston, the famous and historic international conference. And you are invited to attend. I hope you do. If you want to know more about the conference, go to our website, promiseoftomorrow.biz, on the right-hand side of your screen. You'll see a link, and it'll tell you all about the conference and how to get there. And today we have a very exciting program. In just a minute, I'm going to introduce you to Joe D'Alessandro. He's the new chair of Brandeis Information Security Leadership Program. He's based in Australia, and that's where we caught up with him. And he's a fascinating guy. He's going to talk about the 10-course, 30-credit program, part-time and fully online. And he's going to be explaining all of that at the when Brandeis University exhibits at the Homeland Security Technology Conference. So you'll be able to visit the conference and visit with the representatives that are at the conference, and they'll explain those things to you, but you're going to get a good preview of it when you listen to what Joe has to say to us in just a little bit. Then in the second half of the program, we have Arco Barman. Arco Barman is a great newsmaker. He's going to be speaking at the conference. He received his bachelor's degree in electrical engineering at Jadavpur University. And he has got a lot to say. His research helps in surveillance, security, law enforcement, and criminal investigation on the movement of suspicious individuals over multiple cameras in an area or building. So you're going to enjoy listening to him in the second half hour. And following that is VGN, I think is how we pronounce his name, Asari. He's professor of electrical and computer engineering at Ohio Research Scholars Endowed Chair in Wide Area Surveillance, Omnidirectional Camera Analysis. And he's the director of the University of Dayton Vision Lab in Dayton, Ohio. Incidentally, I don't know if I mentioned or not, but Arco Barman is with the University of Houston, who also is exhibiting at the conference. So you're going to get to learn a lot more about that. And, of course, we're going to visit our den of strangers, get more wisdom from somebody a lot of us never heard of, and visit our fountain of useless information we have here on the set in the second half of the program. And, of course, at the end of the program, listener comments and the voice of reason. And I want to remind those of you listening on radio, you can also hear us commercial-free online at thepromiseoftomorrow.biz anytime, webcast, and be able to pick up at all the things that are going on with the program. So I hope we'll see you at the IEEE International Conference on Homeland Security Technologies. That's April 25th and 26th. It's coming Tuesday and Wednesday. It's a famous and historic international conference. Melissa Flagg, late of the Department of Defense, is going to be there. And Kay Goss, president of World Disaster Management. Both of them are going to be keynoting. If you've just tuned in, you're listening to the Science News Radio Network special presentation, Promise of Tomorrow, with Colonel Mason. Those of you listening on radio can also hear us commercial-free online anytime, webcast, at promiseoftomorrow.biz. Okay, right now we're going to go to the phones. One of the exhibits at this year's Homeland Security Technology Conference is Brandeis University, which is really pretty fascinating. And Joe D'Alessandro is the new chair of the Brandeis Information Security Leadership Program there. And he's based in Australia, and that's where we caught up with him. Welcome to the program, Joe.
Well, thanks for having me, Colonel. I really appreciate it.
Well, we're real fascinated to know what's going on with Brandeis and this Information Security Leadership Program. Can you kind of bring us up to date a little bit?
Sure. The Information Security Leadership Program at Brandeis is a master's level program. Mm-hmm. It confers a master's of science degree. Mm-hmm. And students enter with predominantly with a background of some form of technology or security. We do ask that that students have some background and fluency within the industry at a minimum. And it's a 10-course class with a concentration in broadening the students' understanding of the domains of security. It begins with some introductory classes and then allows a student to explore different areas in information security and information security leadership, such as cryptography or cloud security or network security.
Okay, so, well, security's pretty broad, and of course, since you're doing this online, you can do it from Australia. You don't have to come stateside, is that right?
That's true. You can do it from anywhere in the world. There is asynchronous learning, although we do have some touch points where students get together and work as a group online, and so it does give the student at least some connection to their peers and in their cohort.
Joe, you don't sound like an Aussie to me. What are you doing in Australia?
You know, I came here for business back in 2010. Mm-hmm. The company I was working for at the time sent me here to stand up a function for them, and my family and I liked it, so we eventually decided to come back here, and we've been here a second time for about a year and a half.
All right, so Australia's your home, and you love Australia. Whereabouts in Australia did I catch up with you?
We're in Melbourne, Australia, which is on the southeastern coast.
And that's kind of a pretty area, so I can understand why you might be there. A little bit safer, too, going into the ocean than at Perth. I hear there's a lot of shark attacks over in the Perth area.
There are a lot of shark attacks in Perth, and, you know, Australia does enjoy a pretty large shark population just in general. But Perth seems to get in the news quite a bit, even though they're all over the place down here.
All right. Well, let's get back to the Information Security Leadership Program. Security is a big thing, and I wondered if you cover do you cover drone warfare? Do you cover what are some of the things that the course involves?
Certainly. Well, you know, the course has about six required classes. Mm-hmm. And they really seek to steep the student in a broad general understanding of security, because information security leadership could mean that one would be given greater responsibility within a number of different areas that one might not have specialty in. We want the student to have a broad survey of experience in security. So there's some fundamentals in information security. There's some principles of incident response, risk management in security, IT security and compliance, which is a general survey class regarding the intersection of those two areas, IT security and compliance, which can be very different for an organization, large or small. And then leading security in a complex organization. Those classes round the student leader out and give them a broader survey of the domains of security. And really, we're looking to enhance one's ability to talk fluently and to examine those general areas of security, such that if I'm working in an area of technical, and I have an area of technical expertise in IT, and I've been moved up the ladder and become a supervisor or a manager and have responsibility for security area, that I'm at least familiar with that area. And one of the big areas that I see getting a benefit for a student leader from this type of broad survey is incident response, which can be extremely specific because of the specificity of what one has to do within responding to something, be it an event, a negative event, or even a systems outage could be classified as an incident. But not having any familiarity with that, a leader might find themselves sort of a fish out of water, if you will. A class such as ours isn't going to make you a deep technical expert or a subject matter expert in incident response, but it's going to allow you to manage those who are across their multiple domains of expertise within incident response. And that's really what we're looking to do, is to give one a broader understanding of the areas and allow them to do some hands-on work in some instances in those areas. For instance, in our principles of risk management and IT security, students do some threat analysis work. They do some collaborative work with groups, which may be their role and a role that they're unfamiliar with if they've been a technical expertise, and suddenly have to sit around the table and guide their peers or their peers' staff through an assessment of security risk. Some of the classes that students can then move into are in areas such as cloud security and network security, mm-hmm. applied cryptography, security for code assessment and software design. So really what we're doing is giving them that ability to broadly view the domains of security, but then dive down a bit into those and to dive down into leadership. There's some optional class around organizational leadership and decision-making, which would help a new leader. Business continuity planning. They can take surveys in information security leadership by suggesting a special topic and doing a semester of research. So that gives you, I think, at least a little bit of an idea of what the curriculum's like.
Yeah, this seems to be incredibly comprehensive and really can take a student in whatever direction that student excels in and seems to have interest in and that sort of thing. And, of course, it's real convenient being online and, of course, with a fine university like Brandeis. I was somewhat curious as to why Brandeis has gotten into security. I think Brandeis largely has been law, hasn't it, from the namesake, from Louis Brandeis? Is that right, or am I all wet over that?
Well, no, I think you're correct. I mean, that's where we find our roots in Louis Brandeis. But you know, Brandeis is a large research university, and it has great programs in multiple disciplines, has students really from all over the world. So it's, you know, its academic programs and degree programs range from, you know, undergraduate arts and sciences to PhDs, and across disciplines. And I think, you know, I think computer science in general has grown, and information security has in large part grown out of the study of computer science. Some schools at this point in time are now starting to break that apart. Some schools are moving the more technical parts of information security and computer science, the heavy cryptography and encryption parts, into a more engineering or technical focused program, and they're moving areas that are not as heavily steeped in technology into a more general computing science study. But no, you're not incorrect about about Louis Brandeis or his work with the law, but the information security program's been around for a while, and it's it's a growing program, and we think it offers a lot of advantage for a student.
Okay, so this is really new then for Brandeis University. Louis Brandeis, incidentally, is one of my very favorite Supreme Court justices. I have his quotes that I have saved down through the years because he's just a fascinating character and certainly a man steeped in great wisdom, and the things that he did on the Supreme Court were just super wonderful. But you've had then security programs. This is not something that you're just now getting into. You've been developing this for quite some time, I guess.
The program has been around for a few years, and I think similarly to other programs, it started out with a much heavier technical slant, and has decided to move towards leadership within the last few years, and really form that umbrella, if you will, that provides a student who's an emerging leader in their business with coming to develop their toolbox, if you will, to become that new leader and to become that new leader across the security domains.
Well, I think we should give a website where students can go and drill down even further and learn even more, maybe submit some questions and that sort of thing. Can you tell us the site that you would like to send them to, those who might be listening to the program?
Certainly. If you go to your favorite search engine and type in information security and Brandeis, that'll lead you to the information security leadership page. But you can go to brandeis.edu/GPS, and that'll bring you to the graduate professional studies page. And from there, you can select the information security leadership program.
Okay.
Lots of different ways you can get there.
Yeah, an easy way to do it, just Brandeis information security, put in the search engine, and that will lead you there too, so that's good. We still have a little bit of time, and I wonder if there's something that we've missed, that maybe something you really want to drive home and have those who are listening to the program kind of a takeaway, or we covered everything.
You know, I think there's a lot here in the program for an emerging or someone who wants to move into security leadership to find. I think more than just technical understanding, you know, provides managerial skills and really allows a student to explore a more strategic side within an organization. And I think it's been an interesting program to teach in, because I think we've seen some very interesting students across a number of different disciplines and domains. We do get quite a few students who come from a technology background, but we also get students who come from other backgrounds and have worked their way into technology and then decided, you know, information security is the place for me. So we get students with a variety of different backgrounds and experiences, but the majority of those students are professionals, and the program is a good program for a professional working full time who wants to take their career to the next level and get a master's degree. It is, you know, approximately 30 credit hours. It's approximately 10 classes, but those classes are offered at varying times within the year. And just moving to a four-class a year program, which allows even more flexibility for a working student. So, you know, upon graduation, the students really are equipped to do a number of different things that they weren't when they first came in. And in some cases, the students really can get into hands-on work, and that hands-on work can really allow them to explore an area where they weren't familiar with. And we see that a lot for instance, in a class I did teach, which was risk management in IT security. We work a lot with developing students' ability to sit in a room with internal auditors or compliance people or regulators and really be able to bridge between the technical and the obligatory, if you will, those rules, requirements, and laws and regulations that we all in business have to deal with intersecting with IT security. And then we also work on hands-on exercises, how to perform assessments, how to roll up your sleeves and get your hands dirty, if you will, in terms of talking through goals and threats and risks with the organization, and helping the organization look at itself more critically. And I think that's one of the great attributes of the program. I think helping the emerging leader develop some critical thinking skills. So we're not talking about just marching through a step-by-step, here's what business continuity means. It's more thinking critically about an organization, thinking holistically in some cases at a greater level than one is done as a technical operator. And looking at the organization with that lens of it's a business, it has business goals, but it also has risks, it also has technology, it's leveraging technology for business goals. How do those risks impact those business goals? So I think that gives you maybe a broader flavor for some of the skills developed by our students.
Yeah, Joe, you've been a wealth of information. This is fascinating, and I'm sure there's going to be a keen interest in this as we move along among our listeners and among those who are attending the conference. And I think it's also interesting, you're being in Australia. You get to see the world from a sort of a different slant. You have the news not filtered through the same filters we get here. You see things differently. You've got other concerns. The Australia's largest export, I understand, is coal to China. So I wonder if maybe you might give a broad look down the road somewhere, maybe a look into the future or something. Could you put on your thinking cap and look 5, 10, 15, 20 years, something, down the road and tell us where you see things progressing in with world affairs?
You know, I wish I had that. I wish I had that kind of predictive ability. But I think like many areas, it's moving extremely fast, and one has to be extremely nimble and adjust accordingly. I really think that. And you're mentioning Australian coal is interesting. Yeah, Australia has had a large mining export for quite some time. It's been a large industry here, and. And I think Australia has also had, you know, good success on the global stage from other areas as well. Software, for instance, with Atlassian and Jira. Lots of organizations out there using Jira and some of the collaboration tools brought to us by Atlassian, which is an Australian company. Australia, I think, is an interestingly positioned country in that it's on this side of the world with Southeast Asia and China in particular. But English speaking as well, and it's a nice bridge between East and West. China has a pretty good relationship with Australia, and yes, we do watch the news quite a bit from here, and I pay close attention to what's going on, especially in the U.S. Since I'm a U.S. citizen and moving abroad, which is interesting. It's interesting to be a U.S. citizen living abroad, and I think it also helps our students, I hope, as well, being in a different jurisdiction, being exposed to different sets of laws and regulations. In some instances, I'd say a different regulatory regime, but also a heavier regulatory regime than we might find in some areas of some industries in the U.S. But no, I wish I had that predictive clarity. I don't. If I did, I'd be a betting man as well, I'm sure.
Well, maybe you can help us with some words of wisdom. I know that you've been mentored during the course of your career, and you mentor other people now as your distinguished chair and as an educator. And maybe words to live by, a creed or something. Do you have something you can pass on to us now that you might tell a younger student, or you might tell a brother, or you might tell a child, or something of that nature?
You know, I think I try to tell people to learn to be comfortable with change and ambiguity, and provide yourself some foundational comfort in who you are and what you do, and also realize that things are not going to always go your way, and adjusting to that is a key to getting yourself to be in a better place in the future.
Okay, Joe D'Alessandro, the new chair of the Brandeis Information Security Leadership Program. Joe's based in Australia. We talked to him by cell phone. We certainly do appreciate you taking the time to be with us, Joe. It's been very exciting, and we'll look forward to seeing the Brandeis exhibit at the Homeland Security Technology Conference going on, as a matter of fact, next Tuesday and Wednesday. So thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you, Colonel. I really appreciate the time. Thanks very much.
If you've just tuned in, you're listening to the Science News Radio Network special presentation, Promise of Tomorrow, with Colonel Mason. Those of you listening on radio can also hear us commercial-free online anytime, webcast, at promiseoftomorrow.biz. Okay, as we walk to the break at the half hour, we're going to pause at the door of the Den of Strangers. where we keep locked away all of the wisdom of mankind. Who in the den of strangers will we meet today?
Helen Gurley Brown. Women only need three things, and sex is only one of them. The other two are eating and breathing.